Northwest Pennsylvania websites, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Hagman and Hagman.com for the show. And, boy, we had a, that was a great visit with, Rick Wiles from True News. God bless that man. He's, he works hard and, harder than any two people I know. And, he's just fantastic. He's a good friend of ours. And, we're so appreciative to be, we're so appreciative of Rick Wiles, his efforts and such. Now, let me ask you, do you own a business? If you are a business owner or the head of personnel, head of human resources, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. Folks, if you want to find the perfect hire, get that great, that the best fit for your company, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. You see, with ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100+ job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, with just one single click. You can find candidates in any city, in any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. It's a one-stop shop. The interface makes it all, oh, it makes it work. You know, it prevents you from having to juggle emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them. And you can hire the right person really quickly. You can find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, folks, if you're listening to this program, ZipRecruiter has given you, if those people out there are looking to hire someone, a very special offer. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, try it for free and go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Of course, you can check out the website. I took it for a test drive. It's wonderful. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Now, we got Dave Hodges coming up here shortly. We got some stuff to talk about with Dave. So glad he's joining us on somewhat rather late notice, and he's done a bunch of radio today, so he's, we'll be easy on him, but Dave's got some announcements to make. That's right. Dave Hodges, for those who, I can't believe anyone wouldn't know him, he runs the Common Sense Show. TheCommonSenseShow.com. He also has a radio program every Sunday night right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Wow. His website has recently exploded lately. And when I say exploded, I'm talking about the coverage, the people who are tuning in to see what he's got to say. It's amazing. Joe, do we have Dave on, you said?
Right. Yes, we do.
Let's bring him on. Dave Hodges, the one and only. How you doing, brother?
Yes, and my mom was glad I was the one and only. I think her greatest nightmare is if I would have been twins. But it's good to be here, Doug. Kind of making the rounds tonight. I'm on phase two of my media appearances today. Phase three, I got to do 3 podcasts tonight. So I've been busy because there's so much to cover. I can't keep up with the globalists. They're attacking us in so many ways that it's impossible to cover it all.
Yeah, isn't this something? Did you ever think that we would get to this point, this juncture, this moment in time when it's just like, you know, it's like a 360 kind of thing where it's coming at you from all directions? Did you ever think that we'd be here?
Not nearly as fast.
Yeah, indeed.
I thought this would be more of a problem for my son to deal with, and I didn't dream I would be dealing with this. We are literally on the cusp of being knocked off Facebook, knocked off YouTube, and knocked off the internet. This is where we're at right now. And when they close down the communications, That's the first thing you do when you're going to attack somebody. You attack their command and control. And when they close down our communications, then I believe they're coming after us. I wrote an article today, and forget I wrote it, okay, because I'm divorcing myself from the ego of writing the article because it's so distressing. But the article talked about how they're basically have granted themselves, and I'm talking about the globalists, have granted themselves the authority to create medical FEMA camps. And I've got, it's probably the best sourced article I've written in months. And I've got government documents from the CDC, Human Health Services, the Army Field Manual. And let me give you the bottom line. They can take you out to quarantine, into containment, not for what you have medically, but for what you might have. And then the facility they're going to take you to, I listed the sponsors in the article up on thecommonsenseshow.com, and they list things like, you know, the FBI and the DOD and the Pentagon and so forth. But in this supposed medical quarantine facility, they don't have one health agency associated with it. No Doctors Without Borders, no National Institute of Health. In other words, today, with what I printed, they just legitimized their excuse to put people in FEMA camps by the droves.
Man. And you said heavily sourced, heavily cited. This is not just, you know, the tip of the, or the rumor mill. This is something. Yeah?
Oh, this is heavily sourced. In fact, I was just on with Paul Martin up in Northern Colorado, in Johnstown, Colorado, to be more exact. And Paul pulled the article out and was reading the citations to the listening audience. And you know, you write an article and you kind of divorce yourself from it. You know, it's like playing a game and you move on to the next contest. And that's what I had done. But I thought, man, there really was a lot of documentation in that article as he was reading it to me. So there's no doubt what I'm saying, Doug. It goes back to, I'll tell you what it reminds me of, Doug. It's the political schizophrenia diagnosis put forth by the Soviet Union against political dissidents in the 1970s and 80s. And ICD-9, which was kind of the international code for psychiatric disorders, they came out and just eviscerated the Russians for doing this and said it's so unprofessional, it's just political oppression by a different name. And now we're doing the same thing. But they're going to use mental health against us. They're going to use potential physical health. I mean, there's a quotation in there that I pulled out from one of the HHS documents, and it said they can basically quarantine you for not what you have, but what you might have. So that's a blank check. And then they say they can incarcerate you for this condition, this condition, this condition, and then they say, and other infections not listed.
So give me an example.
They're giving themselves a total blank check of which to really start FEMA camp incarcerations. Now, I would challenge people. Maybe I'm out to lunch and I had a bad day, and I'd tell people, go read that article on thecommonsenseshow.com about the medical FEMA camps, and then tell me that the government can't do what I'm saying they can do after you read the documentation.
Okay, but Dave, give me an example of how that would work. For example, you just said not what you have, but what they, or what you could, might have. How would that work? I mean, give me a, for instance.
Well, I don't know about the implementation, Doug, about how they would gather their people, but I think when they decide to round people up, they would be here. Just let me pull the article up here. But I think when they come to you and they say, well, you know, we think you're sick or you could be sick and we're going to grab you and pull you off the street. The title of the article is Medical FEMA Camps for Anti-Vax and Political Dissidents. And in the first part of the article, when I'm citing, you know, some of the CDC provisions of the new authority they've granted themselves, they specifically mention going after people who aren't vaccinated. Some of my sources, and I'll get to your question in just a second, some of this, what came from the Notice of Proposed Regulation Rulemaking, it's in the Federal Register on August 15th. I also cited the CDC, an expert who looked at these policies from the National Vaccine Information Center, Barbara Lee Fisher. Scrolling down here, I looked at Army Field Manual that addresses this, FM 3-39.4, paragraphs 1 through 5. So, I mean, I think you can see I've got a fair amount here. I've got revised list of quarantinable communicable diseases, Executive Order 13295, ESF number 8, which is a PDF, and I tell people how they can access it because there's not a clear link. So this is what I put into this article, and this is all about quarantining for health. In fact, let me just read to you a couple of short paragraphs here. I said, Human Health Services will be in charge, and they work closely in conjunction with the UN, and I'm speaking about past history. These camps could begin as FEMA detention camps for inpatients. So this is a partial answer to your question, but quickly morph into something else, because here's what I present as proof for that statement. Quote, detainees, this is from the Army Field Manual, may be segregated by ethnic and family groups and further segregated to protect vulnerable individuals. And then they go on to talk about how they want to train foreign troops to oversee these medical camps. And here are some of the agencies that sponsor them. The International Organization of Migration, local U.S. embassies, Department of Homeland Security, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, FEMA, but nothing in there with regard to medical personnel or a medical institution that's going to oversee these camps. Yet they're supposed to be detainment camps for health problems. How could you do a health camp detainment facility and not have health camp people overseeing it? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It's kind of a giveaway, if you, in my opinion, right there, for something much more sinister. And when you see the types of new technology, medical technologies that they've rolled out, you know, you don't even really know if you're sick or not, or if you, you know, say you have a fever or not. They have the technology to, you know, pretty much manipulate any kind of data that they want to. So if they wanted an excuse to round you up, say you did have your vaccinations and they wanted to take you away, you know, they could kind of put a scanner in front of you or in your, you know, do an eye scan or a forehead scan, say you had a temperature or say that they found some kind of bacteria inside you and take you away. Or they can just do it based on people who refuse vaccines or, you know, something else that's in the vaccine that they want to give you through the vaccine. And the documents you cited from the internment and resettlement operations documents, to some of the, presidential, documents, the PPDs, they have, created just this fiat law through executive actions that give them basically all the powers that they need to do whatever they want pertaining to citizens and their rights in times they declare emergencies. And it can be a localized emergency, but they can make that nationwide.
Well, along those lines, listen to this. This is a quote coming out of the CDC and the Federal Register. It says, today the American people are challenged, as they have been before, to confront the expansion of government authority, blah, blah, blah. So they try to soften the blow and say, we're not going to be the big, bad, big brother here. But then it says they have the power to take into custody and isolate people without their consent when public health officials believe they are sick or could become sick. Key phrase, could become sick.
Yeah, that includes anybody.
Yeah, we all could become sick. And then they go on to say this NPRM calls for airline and cruise ship personnel to increase surveillance of travelers into the U.S. and those traveling between states. This starts to get pretty draconian here. And then it talks about the states have the best system to detect people who have health problems, but they also say, since we provide federal funding to a lot of these state agencies, that we basically will run the show, and that they would be the CDC. And they say that in so many words here. And then, of course, and here's another one. Obamacare, all medical records are accessible by the IRS through electronic means in violation of HIPAA regulations. And also, too, your vaccine tracking system now that they've implemented is accessible in the same manner. So, see, they can very easily do a naughty and nice list and just go after the people that say, you haven't had your vaccine, come with us. And your kids are going to that camp, your wife is going to this camp, and, sir, you are going to that camp. And they'll divide people up. And that's all in here, too.
Yeah, you know, this week is the Health IT Week for the government. And also, when you talk about vaccines and flu shots, I don't know how many people have noticed this in their local drugstores and pharmacies and whatnot, but if you go in there, a lot of times you'll see, you know, receive a free flu shot, you know, even without insurance, or other pharmacies you'll see receive a flu shot and help a third world nation child, you know, get a vaccine, something along those lines. And they're also creating, you through the IRS and the electronic health records as a database, and the electronic health records seems harmless, moving all the paper records of your health over to computerized models, making it easier for other providers and healthcare facilities to access your records to make sure that, you know, there's no problems there. But at the same time, it can be used as a Trojan horse to identify and target individuals who do not have and have not received certain vaccines, or, you know, gone along with certain programs. We see this with nurses in hospitals now, people who work in healthcare industries. If they refuse to be vaccinated for certain diseases or get flu shots, they can no longer continue to perform at their current place of employment. And this is beta testing for the civilization.
Yeah, you said that very well. That's exactly right. It's beta testing for the civilization. It's basically just providing one more excuse to put people behind bars that they don't agree with. I mean, look, you've got medical containment facility with no medical people.
Yeah.
That's like going to watch a baseball game and no one has any bats.
And think about this. You know, what better way to silence political opposition than through false medical tyranny? You know, we're not suppressing you for your political, you know, views and ideology. It's because you're not vaccinated.
I know. It's worse than the Salem witch trials. This is just mind-boggling, but there's something like this every day. I have a revelation like this every day on my website, and it's not because I know where to look or I'm so gifted at researching. It's that they're not even trying to hide this stuff anymore. It's all out in the open.
Yeah, it is. And all people have to do is take the time and read through their, you know, 100-page PDFs that they release, you know, 3 times a day, and you can find it. It is in there.
It is crazy. What did you guys think of Trump in the debate?
Well, he, you know, either he was pulling a lot of punches, or, and I believe that's, well, first of all, let me just say this. I do believe that there were some Hollywood antics stacked up against him. Minor things. The messing with the volume on his microphone being one. For the viewership, the 100 million at home, you could tell that there was some fuzziness with respect to his, no, they were playing with the focus. I'll just put it that way.
It's also been reported that Hillary had the debate questions a week in advance.
Yes, yes. And I do suspect that there was some sort of chicanery with maybe her getting some coaching by way of electronic means. But to answer your question directly, I think that I think Trump could have gone further. Now, I would question whether he decided not to or something else was at play. What do you think is perhaps the more important question here?
Well, I think Trump missed the golden opportunity of the whole campaign. You had an estimated 100 million people watching, 80 on TV in various forms, and 20 million on the Internet. And it's estimated the next debate will only draw about a third of that. So he missed his golden opportunity. Let me give you an example of what I think he could have done. And I'll even go to his best line that he had in the entire debate. When Hillary said, you need to release your tax forms, Donald, what are you hiding? And he said, well, I'll release my tax forms when you release the 33,000 deleted emails. Okay, LOL, pretty good, Donald. But he should have gone on to say something like this. And Hillary, you know, if anybody in this audience here in this auditorium tonight would have done what you did with those emails, they wouldn't be here watching. They might be watching. They'd be watching from their prison cell. And see, that's, he needs to hit that hard. That's not unprofessional. That's a statement of fact. She committed multiple felonies for which she should be in prison. And then he talked about the debate, in the debate about the economy. And you and Barack Obama have doubled the national debt, blah, blah, blah. He needs to make those comments more personal. And he didn't do that. And I'm thinking, who the hell are his speechwriters? That'll fire them and hire me or people who think like me, because this is what I would have had him say. I'd have said, in this era, when you have doubling the budget has happened in the administration that you served under, and you can't afford one more Marine guard for Ambassador Stevens when he requested it three times in writing, what were you thinking, Hillary? See, that would have brought Benghazi right home and put it right in her face in terms she could not dispute. And that greatly bothered me, he didn't reference Benghazi, especially since he went out of the way to have at least one of the Benghazi victims' wives in the audience. He had opportunity after opportunity to end Hillary's political career. She is roadkill, and he let her get up and walk away. I know, I'm being harsh, but that's how I saw it.
Well, I think many people share in your assessment.
Well, he missed a golden opportunity, because let's assume there were 25 million totally undecided people. He could have done this so professionally, but so emphatically, that she had nowhere to hide on that stage. And he could have just eviscerated her. And he didn't do it. I mean, the Uranium One thing. You know, Hillary, you say you have experience in national security. All he said is, you have bad experience. No, what right. He should have said is, Hillary, what's the story that ran in the New York Times, the paper that supports you, and it went out and said in April of 2015 that your company, Uranium One, that was a front company for the Clinton Foundation, sold nuclear material in the form of uranium taken from rancher land in America, and that money and the profit back to the Russians got put into your Clinton Foundation, and you're using that money today illegally because it comes from a foreign source to run for president. What about that, Hillary? The New York Times supports you, and yet they wrote that story. Where was that comment?
Yes, and I will say this to our listeners, that you were on the forefront of that story, Uranium One, and the entire shameful process that Hillary Clinton was, and Obama to a lesser extent, but Hillary Clinton certainly was behind. And you know, the Clinton Foundation as well, the reference with respect to his tax returns, my goodness, he could have come back and said, you know, yeah, I'll release my tax returns, complete release of tax returns, when you release your medical records or the Clinton Foundation tax returns, or pick something else. But
yeah, you know, I think, on the health records.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, though, I think Americans kind of, even though the majority of Americans understand the attempts to not pay as much income taxes or as little income taxes as possible, I think people understand that. I think they find it distasteful at the same time, especially to brag about that, especially when you're in the, you know, gazillionaire tax bracket. And you whittle your tax liability down to near nothing. So I don't think he did himself many favors in that respect, to be honest and blunt. But will that, Dave, do you see that eroding his support at all? The debate? I mean, although he didn't gain much, do you see it eroding his support?
It's hard to determine what the effect on the undecideds was. She appeared more presidential because she's polished in events like this. I get that. I think to the average person who sits on the sofa with a remote in their beer, they won't get that. They'll just see polished, and they won't know or care about the criminality. You know, Doug, what really bothers me in this whole scenario, though, and I hope there's some Democrats listening, because I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. How can you raise kids in a moral way to honor the laws of our society and to respect this government and to respect our country's heritage and be a Democrat and a Democrat? Democrat in particular that would vote for Hillary Clinton. How can you look your kids in the face and say that you represent any kind of virtue when you represent such a heathen criminal as Hillary Clinton? I can't possibly understand that. I've asked that question to Democrats, and it usually ends with a blank you, middle finger comment,
right,
because they don't have an answer.
Oh, yeah, or they're intellectually hobbled but by years, if not decades, of programming and just drinking the Kool-Aid of the progressives. We're talking, folks, with Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com.
It's heard each Sunday here on Global Star Radio Network, 8 yeah. to 11 Eastern time. And actually,
in real time, by the way.
We're going to be filling in
as
guest host for the next few weeks.
Yeah, on the other side of the break, Joe, I think we'll let Dave Hodges kind of roll that out because he's got, you know what, folks, we are in a time period right now. We're in a time period like no other. You heard Steve Quayle talk about this last night and Pastor Langford. We are in a time period right now like no other, and I do suspect you've got the internet being changed over to globalist control. Now, you'll see some people saying, oh, it's no big deal. It's just about ICANN and assignment, name assignment, registrations and such. And a lot of people are, even on conservative websites and forums, are saying, don't worry about it. But wait a minute. That's not the whole story.
No, it's not.
It never was the whole story. It does have a command and control of economic features as well. Dave Hodges, on the other side, you're listening to Hagman and Hagman. This time, a full boat, both of us. Folks, Doug Hagman with our special guest, Dave Hodges from thecommonsenseshow.com. He's a guy that's in demand. We like to bring you only the best, and Dave Hodges is one of those people. Fits the bill right there. Our website's HagmanReport.com, and that's for news, information, and analysis. And, of course, if you want to watch the show, all things show-related, Hagman and Hagman.com. You can like us on Facebook as well. That's Hagman Report. And we're on Twitter at Hagman Report. And of course, I've got my own Facebook. It's Doug Hagman. Doug Hagman. Obviously, right? And Twitter at Hagman, at Hagman PI. Yeah, I can talk. That's right. Hey, you know what? Let me ask you a question before we get back to Dave Hodges. Are you a fan of end times novels? Or are you end times fiction? Are you a fan? Think about this coming as we get into the more inclement weather with fall. How about snuggling up by your fireplace and cracking open just some great reading in terms of end times fiction? Well, I got something for you. We have a very special offer for you. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph, he's the author of a series of novels. He takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. Yes, T.C.'s novels move through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon. His witty style and fascinating characters provide a great read. Not only will you, ladies and gentlemen, love these books as I have, but they can be a great tool to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times that we face. If you have people that don't really want to read nonfiction, they want to read fiction, be entertained. Here it is. It's thegenerationseries.com. Thisgenerationseries.com. Let me say that again. Thisgenerationseries.com. If you're watching this via YouTube, it's right up on your screen. Kirkus Reviews states, and I quote, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Ink Reviews calls this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com today. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And coming soon in the fall of 2016, right now, anytime now, Book 3, Penance. That's thisgenerationseries.com for more information. Thisgenerationseries.com.
We are speaking with Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show. Folks, go to thecommonsenseshow.com, bookmark the website, check out Dave's radio show each and every Sunday evening right here on Global Star Radio Network, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and check out the great content that he has. He writes some fantastic articles about all the relevant information and things that we see going on in this world, from financial to military to presidential elections to health and wellness. I mean, all kind of, he's all over the board, and it's a investigative journalist at its finest, stuff you will not find on the mainstream media. And his latest article, America is the craziest word, hold on, I just clicked on it and it's coming back here. America is the craziest, worst paid, and sickest of all the modern nations.
Sick in many and many levels.
And it gets into so much of what Dave was talking about in the first segment he was with us. And folks, I urge you to go there and read that. Dave, welcome back.
Great to be with you guys as always. And I think it's time that we make an announcement.
Let's rock, man. I'm gonna folks, put your seat backs and tray tables in their full upright and locked position, because we are about to hit some turbulence, or at least to fight against it. Go ahead, Dave. Yeah, what you got?
I'm thinking we're going to send a few shockwaves out there in terms of the independent media, but you know, we were just kicking things around about my show, and we being Doug and I at the time, and we got around to saying, you know, maybe we should just combine forces here to some degree and cross promote and put our heads together and so you guys, and by the way, you know, I'll say this publicly, you have a place on my show, whether it's a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, as long as you guys want it. But right now, as it stands, for the foreseeable future, on the Common Sense Show, in our third hour, we'll either have Doug or Joe, or Doug and Joe, or Joe and Doug, and we're going to rock on this, and we're going to put our heads together and bring to the table, you know, what we've done during the week and what the pressing issues are, and compare notes, and we hope our listening audience will be the beneficiaries of this, and I'm so excited to have you guys come on. I'm actually humbled that a show with this kind of presence that you guys currently have, that you'd even be willing to entertain the idea of coming on our show on such a regular basis.
Well, you know what? The $500 check a week does help. it's funny because we pay him $500 week one, and then he pays us, and then we pay him. And then, no, you know what? No, I'm just kidding. It's most assuredly, somebody's going to hear that and say, oh, man, that's, you know, it's all. But it didn't take me seriously. It's not. No, you know what? We are facing, Dave, it seems like everyone in the alternative media or the new media, the true media, is getting. We're suffering from censorship on many levels, and we have to prevent, you know, we have to team up and to fight, push back, become a more formidable force. We can't sit back on our hind ends and say, oh, you know, it's going to work itself out. So this is one way, by combining forces, isn't it, to kind of fight that?
It is. In fact, I've been through some pretty heavy duty censorship this week. I had Gary Haven on, who's was the producer of Amerageddon, and he's very successful in business, friends with Rand Paul, governor of Texas, a very prominent individual, very sincere, very loyal to our country. He came on and he said that people inside the Trump campaign that he knows, high up in the Trump campaign, know that Trump has been told that if he's leading going into the election, they're going to pull the plug with an EMP, and we kind of think it's going to be a partial EMP, at least that's my thinking, and a grid takedown to make it look like an EMP. But in terms of censorship, I ran that the next day, and it was hour two on my show. This is kind of interesting. Gary's a stand-up guy, and there was nothing incredulous. I mean, it was pretty much presented the way I just presented it. And My website went down 3 times that morning, and it went down for a total of almost 3 hours, although it was incredible, Doug. We had 120,000 visitors that day, 121,000 to be exact, with us being down almost 3 hours. Someone didn't want that information out. I posted it on YouTube, and it was entitled The Common Sense Show, 9/25/2016, hour number 2. No description, didn't even have Gary's name in the promo, and I do that intentionally on my show to try to avoid the YouTube censors, but sure enough, they demonetized the video, and I put it up on Facebook and with another story, and I don't know which one got me banned. I think it might have been the second one, where I talked about how 12 years ago I became the spokesperson for my community when we were fighting against John McCain, the New World Order, and the CAFTA, you know, free trade agreement, trying to take over my community and force us off our homes, off our lands without any compensation. And I said, we fought an 8-year battle, and there are some lessons to be learned for the nation, I think, from what our 2,000 people did in our area. And Facebook banned me for that article. I mean, simply for just sharing what we did as activists acting within the law. And so when you talk about censorship, yeah, in fact, YouTube is coming out with something that it was downplayed to me yesterday, Doug, by someone we both know, and I hope he's right, but I read about this hero program in YouTube. They're going to go out and they're going to hire trolls as young as 13 years of age. Yes, you heard me correctly, 13 years of age, and they're going to train these people to go from YouTube channel to YouTube channel and flag the content they don't like. No, not the content that's pornographic or obscene or defamatory in some way, but content they don't like. And if you get 3 flags, your YouTube channel is deleted.
Yeah.
Do you know about that program, Doug?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I mentioned it earlier this week. And, you know, the program itself came out, was rolled out, I think, back in... Oh, it was within the last 30 days. But see, they make it sound very innocuous. Very, we're just trying to combat. The flagging inappropriate content is just one part of it. But you get points. That's a big point maker. And yes, it's inappropriate content such as pornography or child or animal abuse. But then you're right. It's the stuff that they don't like, the political attacks on the progressives, Democrats. God forbid that you mention Hillary Clinton and health problems in the same posting or in the same video.
Oh, if I do, it's as good as demonetized.
That's right. And yeah.
And we know it's only going to be working to one side of the aisle.
Donald Trump, that would air just fine, and they could care less. In fact, Facebook even has an assassinate Donald Trump page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is only played to one side of the political aisle. They obviously will continue to censor, demonetize, and, you know, remove or call content offensive that is in opposition to their New World Order agenda. Yet things about abortion, homosexual marriage, no matter how many times it's flagged as inappropriate or offensive, will, you know, be promoted, not only continue to be played, but promoted, you know, at the top echelons of you know, the YouTube advertising market. And this is how, you know, through backdoor censorship, that they will work until they are able to pull the plug and criminalize free speech.
That day is coming, my friend.
Indeed it is. And tell me again, how do you feel about this ICANN stuff, specifically with respect to...
Euphemism for I can censor anything you say, and I can keep people from hearing what you think.
Okay. Because I'm getting tired of these people who... We say, well, I've been in IT, you know, for the last 25 years, and I think you're just making too much of it. When in fact, it involves not just the registry, but also there's an economic side to this. There's a taxation side to this.
I'm going to say it this way, okay? Albert Einstein had the smarts to get away from the Nazis when he could. How many Jews said the same thing? Gee, guys, it's not going to be that bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, or decide to look the other way, for whatever stupid reason they offered. But the effect. You know, had people stood up, had more people said no, and come to the aid of the Jews and the Christians and the Africans, even back in World War II, things could have turned out a lot different, perhaps. But we can't afford at this point. Dave, I don't think we can afford to miss many missteps. I don't think we can afford those. We need to unite, and that's what we're doing. By the way, folks, Sunday night we're honored to be able to be a part of the Common Sense Show for the third hour. Joe and I, alternating. We're very proud to do that. And join forces, and because like minds have to join forces, and we have to get the word out. And your platform, Dave, is so great, so wide. I mean, your numbers are folks. Dave's numbers are incredible, man. I mean, he was telling me about his numbers. He's kind of humble publicly. I mean, but
yeah, dreamed that that many people would be coming to my site. It's not an ego thing. It's an amazement thing. You know, I got started in this, going back to the story about my community. I was on a radio station, KBSC, three times in Wickenburg, and the late Pete Peterson, who owned the station, used to interview me about how John McCain and the globalists were trying to force us off our land without any compensation. And one day, after we were done with the third interview, he said, "Dave, you need to have your own show." I said, no, Pete, you can interview me and I'm okay with that. I can't do my own show. I'm not trained for it. And sometimes, you know, what I learned from this experience is I took a leap of faith. My wife said to me, "Why not?" And I had a couple of friends to me say, "You know, what's the worst thing that happens? You bomb and you're right back where you started." And I thought, yeah, okay. So I went on there and we actually grew to five affiliates until Pete's health forced him to sell the station. The next people just ran it into the ground. So I ditched there for greener pastures and continue my broadcasting career. But the fact is, Doug, I never planned to be doing what I'm doing. I mean, and I said this on an earlier interview today, and I know this sounds entirely stupid, but I grew up, you know, playing sports. I love sports. I hate the pro sports because of what they become. But I love the honesty and integrity of pure competition and putting your manhood on the line and challenging yourself to be the best, because the lessons I learned there on the basketball court and the football field really helped me become who I was in other areas of my life, helped me become a better father, helped me become competitive in the workplace. And I sit around today, and I kid you not, and I still fantasize about, I wished I was still coaching college basketball. And really, it was the most fun job I ever had. What I do now is not fun. What I do now is a duty. It's a duty to my fellow countrymen. It's a duty to my family. It's a duty to God. That's not fun. It's a responsibility that I bear. But I love coaching, and I fantasize about going back to it. But Doug, then I kind of come out of that stupor, and I say to myself, I got a job to do now. What's the next article? Because these are the times we're in. Playtime is over. You know, recess is behind me now, and I don't get to have that fun anymore. I find pleasure in my family and things we get to do, but I don't get to do the wonderful things I did for so many years because John McCain visited my neighborhood. That's what started this. Yeah. I mean, we were facing, we lost all our property rights, and they told us it was because, you're too near an Air Force base. Really, we're 25 miles from the base, and you got to fly your jets 25 miles over 250,000 people to get to us, and you're telling us we're too close? Well, what it was, we were sitting on the planned Canamex corridor, which was the transportation corridor for the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And one night I was looking at a map at 12:30 in the morning, and I had an epiphany. And I said, this is what they're after. And boy, was I ever right. I was 100% right. And that's when I really got into the media and drew a lot of attention. And Ernie Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix approached me and said, "Dave, I'd like you to start writing articles." And I said, "Ernie, I'm reasonably literate, and I'm reasonably well-educated, but I don't think I can write articles like you're asking me to. And it was kind of like the broadcasting thing again. And this is what I would tell people out there. I didn't have any training, and it probably shows quite a bit too, but I never dreamed I would ever be behind the microphone as a host. Never dreamed I would be writing every day, multiple times a day, about the current issues of the day. But sometimes you're called to do things, and I think this is a calling that the Lord put in front of me. And you're called to do things, and you have to rise to the challenge. And Annie DeRiso, who was my news director, wonderful person, and she was my news director for 6 years, she tried to get me to quit coaching long before I did. She said, Dave, this is your calling, because I was trying to serve two masters then, you know, professionally, and she was right. This is my calling. But, Doug, I would love to go back to the days when life was simple. And that's never going to happen. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. This is a multi-generational fight between good and evil. And what's that saying? That if there's a war, let it be today so my son can know peace. Well, that's kind of how I see this right now, because I don't think, and I hate to say this, please, as God is my witness, believe me, I hate saying this, but I agree with Mike Adams. No matter who wins the election, no matter what the outcome is, the other side's going to raise so much trouble that we're going to have a fight on our hands.
I totally agree with that. And I agree, regardless of the outcome of the election, there will be this pall cast upon the results. There will be people who will cast doubt on the legitimacy of the elections to such an extent, I believe, that it could very well spill over into a crisis of epic proportions.
George Soros will invent a group called Democratic Lives Matter, and he'll terrorize every single American city if Trump wins.
Good one there. Yes. Yes. Dave, we only have a couple minutes left of this segment here, and I know you're a busy guy. You got more radio commitments tonight. So what's your biggest target? What's on your radar right now?
There's multiple bogeys coming over the horizon, you know, and I need to disperse my fire in a wide parameter, because there's just too much. The economy could go any minute. The Deutsche Bank going under, and it's any day it's going to go under. They're a big holder in credit swap derivatives, and that affects what happens over here in this country, and that could be enough. They won't send a ripple across the pond when Deutsche Bank goes down. It'll be a tsunami. And I don't know if that's enough to take our economy down, but it could. And certainly cyber attacks upon the grid remain a possibility. The EMP attack, I mean, that was credible, what Gary Haven brought out. And I asked my contact, who used to be a two-star general, one of my best contacts, and I asked him, I said, well, which one of these things do you think is going to come true? And I named off about seven or eight things, and he said, all of them. He said, they will do whatever they feel they need to do to get control over us. And I was told the same thing by my FEMA friend that, you know, I've written about and talked about. He bugged out almost 4 years ago, and he said, you know, he had to get out of harm's way because he's like the original brown shirt. And he said, you know, when things go bad, they're going to kill me and my family. So he went into hiding with other like-minded people from FEMA and DHS. And I asked him, I said, what are they going to do to us? He said, they're not going to start out with heavy-duty stuff. They're going to try to bring you down systematically. But he said, if they can't get the country the way they want it, it's going to be extreme bioterrorism. And this man's specialty was counter-bioterrorism. And what he told me, he said, we have weapons that are so smart, so intelligent, that even the Mossad doesn't know we have them. And he said, they're going to unleash holy hell on us, he said, if they can't get the way they want. And I actually asked him how long. He said 2 to 4 years. And he said, this is why I'm bugging out now, so we can get there, get safe, get secure. And so that's a possibility. And he said the same thing the general said. He said, they're going to do whatever they need to do to gain control. And that's the time we're at right now. I mean, Donald Trump is not going to be allowed to take the oath of office. That doesn't mean we don't vote for him, because we need to force the issue out into the open. But he will never take the oath of office. I don't see that happening. They will take down this country, they'll prevent the election, or they'll assassinate him. But I think they also know at this point, if they assassinate him, if you think people support Trump, what do you think they'll do with Pence in the aftermath of that? They'll have created a martyr candidate, and Pence would destroy Hillary Clinton in the election.
Wow. Those are some pretty heavy duty assertions there. I mean,
well, they killed Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
They killed Martin Luther King. They killed John Kennedy, all for very similar related reasons.
Yep.
They've shown no shame or remorse. These same people, the second generation from the 60s generation, they're cut out of the same cloth. Oh, I think they're worse.
Yeah,
we didn't have the potential of weapons of mass destruction unleashed upon the American people by its own administration, but this administration would do that. The Obama people, the Clinton people, are capable of anything that you can conceive of that's evil.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
100%. And I think that, sadly, whether it's economic weapons or biological weapons...
Or as Dave said, all the above.
Yeah, we will feel the wrath of their weaponry sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the sad part. You and I have time to make peace with our Maker. We have time to repent and ask for redemption and salvation. What about the estimated 50% of the people let me give you a quote from Gary Haven. It was a great quote. He was talking to the producer of the movie Idiocracy, which was the story of sending a man to the future to see what it was like, and he was chosen because he was average in every way, and he was the Einstein of the society, and they'd become so dumbed down. And the producer of that movie said, "I never thought that this movie that was meant to be a comedy would ever become a documentary." And that describes about half our country today. They're not going to have a chance to make peace with God. They're not taking the opportunity now to store food, water, gold, and so forth. I mean, it's going to be one big poop farm for them when things break loose, and they're not going to have a chance of redemption. And that's what drives me right now, because I feel like I'm on this great commission to try not just to win souls to God, but to try to wake people up so they have a chance to survive.
Amen. Brother, thank you so much for sharing your time with us tonight, man. And boy, I'll tell you something. Thanks for allowing us to be part of your program.
The pleasure is 100% mine, and the beneficiaries are my audience. And we're going to start out with Joe this Sunday, and we'll probably do some alternating, but sometimes I'm going to bring you both on so you can tag team the Hodge. But I have to warn you, the old saying goes, you can't dodge the Hodge. Just keep that in mind.
That's a good one.
Sounds like fun, and looking forward to it, Dave.
Well God bless
thanks
you.
For having me on, guys. Great to talk to you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Have a good night.
That was Dave Hodges from thecommonsenseshow.com. Yeah, I can't dodge the Hodge, huh? That's
pretty funny.
Yeah, man. I didn't hear that before. Now,
again, just for those who might not have heard, we're going to be alternating, my father and I, and then sometimes together on Dave Hodges' show on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of partner up and
Saddle get together for battle is what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, put our collective minds together and do some shows and get some information out there and change things up a bit. A little bit of change of pace.
We kind of have a little bit of announcement ourselves. We, you know, Jackie, who many people have known or met, whether in Texas or in Florida.
Here, let me turn the camera.
She's going to be helping us out. I mean, you know, we're growing as well.
She going to be shining our shoes over?
No, she is such a doll and such an intelligent woman. So proud to have her on our team. Folks, we'll be right back right after this. Stay right where you're at. More news.